Heavenly Father, we come again to you this day, Lord, and thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying that we might have life. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for coming within us. It's a down payment, the security that we have when we trusted Christ as Savior, and for the precious Word of God you promised to teach us, we might know about more about Him. Now this morning again, we come to you and ask to bless in this hour. The Lord, I can't do anything in my own energy. The Lord, I can spend time with you. I can pray. I can seek your face. I can surrender to the Spirit of God. But dear Lord, unless the Holy Spirit anoints what's to be said and take it to the individual heart and help each one to understand what we need to understand, then it's helpless. It's hopeless. And we know that you'll do that. We claim that promise today. We all have needed something, and we pray we'd be blessed this day. We've come this way, Lord, to be in the house of God on the Sunday set aside to look at and commemorate and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. May He be glorified today, which pleases the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read verse 12 down to a few verses, and I read pretty fast for the sake of time. And Paul said this in verse 12. He said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" That's pretty simple, isn't it? He's setting forth the fact here in verse 12 that some, even though Christ rose from the dead, there are some who say he did not. By the way, we still have some around. 2,000 years later, we still got some people around who don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. Well, Paul says not only to the church at Corinth, but also to those who say that, if there is be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So there, if Christ is not risen, we don't have no hope of anybody else being risen. You know that? Amen. And so he said, if Christ be not risen, then it's our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ is not risen, ladies and gentlemen, we're foolish to be here this morning. Because what I'm doing to you right now is not, it's foolish, it's in vain, it accomplishes not a thing. But if He has risen, and I say He has. Amen. This is the best place you can be this morning, in the house of God. Because he goes on and says, yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So we who go sword and we can try to win someone to the Lord and knock on doors because of our love for the Lord and a love for people, then if Christ's not risen from the dead, we're just wasting our time. But aren't you glad to know every time you say, if Christ's not risen from the dead, and you say, I know he is? Somebody say, no, you can't know it. Yes, you can. There's more proof of his resurrection of the dead than you being alive. 100 years from now. You think about it. There's more proof. Hey, there's more proof that Christ rose from the dead than George Washington was president of this country. But here we go again. He said, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. We're hopeless, headed, doomed, and damned if Christ didn't rise from the dead. You see, he's the answer for everything that God offers in Christianity. And he goes on, he said, then they also are fallen asleep in Christ or perish. Our loved ones have died and gone on to be what we know to be with the Lord. If Christ's not risen from the dead, they're not with him. Because he's not risen from the dead, he's not existing. So we know that he is existing, and we know that he is coming back and bringing those he said with us in 1 Thessalonians with him have died and gone on before. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, and this is the only thing he can really show us in this life that we're living in, Paul said to the church at Corinth, we're of all men most miserable. But I like verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and so in Christ shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. I want to speak to you this morning as we think about, and I'll give you the title in just a minute, this why we're here today. Why that we're here to worship one who The world looks at it as had a cause and failed at it. We look at it that he came and completed his cause in the eyes of men. That which is a failure is the way that God really does things, his way for his kingdom. And we think about the time we're living in when people do not believe. They're not afraid. There's no fear of God today in the last days. Man waxed worse and worse as no fear. I think about, I read this past week, I was in a place of business, and there was a policeman that was giving an article about, he stopped a lady who was about 80 years old driving. She was just kind of erratic a little bit, I guess, and he pulled her over and stopped her and said to give her his driver's license. He got him, and he saw her name, and she was somewhere around her early 80s, and he went back to his car and called it in, came back, and said, "Miss So-and-so," said, "I also noticed you have a gun permit." She said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." He said, "Could you tell me?" Oh, she said, "Oh, I got a .357 in my glove department." She said, I've got a .22 pistol in my little apartment here, side of my, where my armrest is at. She said, "I also want you to also know that I've got a .38 special in my purse." And he said, "Mrs. Smith," said, "what are you afraid of?" She said, "Absolutely nothing." I like that, amen. "Absolutely nothing," she said. Bless that old lady, amen. Amen. Well, we live in a time today that where people are trying to look at Easter as a holiday, more so as a holy day. Ladies like this, I guess, men will too. I read this as a story said that a man was with his wife shopping for her Easter dress, and she happened to be in a business, and she saw another lady come in and had on a pair of shoes that just the most beautiful shoes she's ever seen. And she told her husband, said, "Honey, go over there and ask her where she bought those shoes, why I'm doing this." And he went over there and asked the lady, said, "My wife won't let you know, her to know where you bought these shoes and how much they were." She said, "Well, they were $85 a pair." He said, "$85 a pair?" I said, "Where'd you get them at?" She said, "We got them about 3 stores down from here on the left." And by that time, his wife saw her husband turn around. She said, "Honey, did she tell where you got them?" She said, "Yes, sir. She got them in Florida." Easter garments now are pretty expensive, isn't it? But I want to speak to you this morning 3 questions about the resurrection. 3 questions about the resurrection. And we see that coming from these verses. All theological subjects in Christianity are very interesting. You can study any doctrine of this Bible you want to. It's very interesting. But I suppose that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most interesting one of all. Because without that, we don't have any hope. We don't have no Bible. Hey, without the resurrection of Christ, I can't trust this Bible. Because this is the Bible, this is God's Word. And it's truth, and he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if he didn't rise from the dead, he's not the way, he's not the truth, he's the life. The fact that he rose from the dead assures my heart he is the way, the truth, and the life. Yet there are many who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they deny it, they look at it as Christ, those who would believe in the resurrection, has been a false believer, or if Christ be not risen from the dead, the gospel is a fake. And it would be. The gospel would be a fake if he's not risen from the dead. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, our religion no better than Buddhism, Unitarianism, no better than Christian Science, or any other system of ethics and religion that has power only in words. Any religion that's on the face of the earth only has words. And words that can be convincing if the person has enough of charisma about them to preach and say those words or speak those words, or if people give them for some reason some type of clout or power. Words can be very powerful, but that's as far as they can go. And if there's nothing more than just words one has, they're not the most powerful things that we hear, though they can convince us because we're intellectual people. But on the other hand, when it comes to God, not only do we have words, we have his word. And the power of his word is by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God that empowers us when we pay tribute to the fact we believe what God says. And the only record we have of what he says is from this book right here. One writer in the past wrote this. He said, "Christ hung on the cross with a drooped head, also with his hair matted and his pale and blood on his face. He was deserted on the cross. And everything about that scene spells simply defeat. Well, for the eyes of the world, it did. There have been thousands who died on the cross before. There have been many that Rome had seen on the cross as the way of capital punishment. And it was hardly no days it went by that somebody went out the way going outside of the city of Jerusalem and also in Rome that were not being crucified, because that was a national way that people died for punishment of any type of thing that they did against the government or what they considered to be wrong or be sinful. Yet Jesus did die this way. He did die. His head was drooped until he cried, "It's finished." He had his face was bruised and matted, and his hair was matted, and his face was pale, and there was blood not only on his face, but his hands and his feet. This is certainly true, but he did not have to die. He chose and decided with the Godhead to begin with that the only way that man could be saved and belong to God in his kingdom is through the sacrifice, which would be the supreme sacrifice. He loved us enough to die, and he gave his life. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see Christ hanging on the cross, oh, they put a spear in his side. They put thorns on his head. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They literally put spikes in his hands and his feet. But let me tell you, they didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. When he had finished what his Father had sent him to do, when he had finished what he himself came to do, and the time came for him to complete the sacrifice hanging on the cross, which represented every lamb in the Old Testament from Adam's day, when he did that, he cried out to God, "Finished!" And God received him. He gave up the ghost. See, you can't kill God, but God can come tabernacle in this body with the life of God, and he can decide when the time is right for him to go and not, or not go. And he did that. The world looks at, he had a hopeless cause. He started like a lot of other men, a big cause, and he failed at his cause. No, sir, you wait till he closes this thing out. And you'll see why that he did, and we'll understand it more so than ever before. With one nod, all heavens, ladies and gentlemen, would have rushed to his rescue. One nod, an angel alone could have come and did some things to this world that they never forgot. With one nod, they could have came and got him from the cross if it's a mind to at that time. They probably, no doubt, some angel was saying, "Dear Jesus, just make a sign. Just give us a okay. We can't do it unless you give us the okay. We don't understand." I'm sure the angels did not understand this. "We don't understand this. Just give us a nod that, and we'll do something that this world will never forget." And God and Jesus said, No. This is necessary. This is the best for me. Jesus said, "I and my Father have worked this from the beginning. And for these people that we love so much to even have a chance to be delivered from the curse of sin, I have to pay the sacrifice. No one else has ever been able to do it. No one else could ever do it in the future. Only God himself had come in tabernacle among us in a body of flesh." And you know the story there as it started with Mary years ago. "It is best for me that I die." So he bowed his head and he gave up his ghost and he died, the scripture says. Then they laid him in a tomb. When they laid him in the tomb, they sealed him, put a Roman guard around it. They as if to say, and I can see this as you read the story, a Roman guard sat around that, and they were simply to say, as if to say that, you know, "We got him now. I'm telling you, we have fixed him now. I want you to know, we'll show the world that he was the biggest faker that ever lived." Because they didn't think he could kill God. And here he's died, and he claimed to be God. Didn't realize you can't kill God. But you can put God in a body of flesh, and when he gets ready to leave that body. Amazing thing about this is you and I are going to leave this body one of these days. You're going to leave it behind. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise God. I'm near about asleep in the pulpit this morning, but I'm glad when I get to heaven one day, I'll be refreshed every day, and there won't be such a thing as day in that day because we'll be back like God had time to begin with. So they said he's a faker. The old French infidel said, whose name was Renan, he said the resurrection, I quote, "The resurrection of Jesus is a myth. The theory of the resurrection came out of the passion and strong imagination of Mary Magdalene, which was only a hallucinated woman." And she just hallucinated these things about him. She wanted it so bad at that time. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Satan knows if he can destroy the resurrection of our Lord in men's mind, he can destroy them. And by the way, you destroy the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the throne of God must fall. You destroy the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the truth that God sets forth must fall. Why? Because if Christ did not rise from the dead by God, his power, whether he himself as God rose himself or as many times he says that God the Father rose him, if he did not rise from the dead, we have no God to trust in. We might as well pick us one out and go like the rest of the world goes. You know why? Because if he's not right on the resurrection, how can we trust him for anything else? He is right on the resurrection, therefore we can trust him for any and everything in this life. Again, let me ask three questions and give an answer to this morning. What are those three questions, preacher? First of all, the question is this: could God raise Jesus from the dead? Secondly, did God raise him from the dead? And third, why did God raise him from the dead? And the scripture has an answer to these, every one of these. When I go to the book of Acts, go back to Acts chapter 26 and verse 8. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul is before Agrippa here. And Paul says this as he's preaching. He said, why should it be a thought? Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, speaking to Agrippa, that God should raise the dead? Why would it be so incredible to you that God could raise someone from the dead? And the same thing we'd say today to anyone else who would deny it. Why would it be such an incredible thing that God, that we know, who created all we see, could raise someone from the dead? When the Apostle Paul preached before the philosophers in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 18 and 19, they came forth and they said, you know, they called him a blabbermouth. They called him one who actually set forth a strange doctrine because he preached the resurrection of the dead. Most objections to Christianity are born out of unbelief. Just simply people don't believe, and then they go after something. I'm amazed this past week, if you looked at anything on the History Channel and others, how they're bringing up not the scriptures that we have today, but everything that's not the scriptures in the past, and showing them where Christ from a child up to 12 and different things were doing things. And in fact, they got Christ as a rude boy, being raised in his day, not subjected to his parents. And when you look at the scriptures that we have here, you find he was subjected to his parents. I mean, had him murdering one fellow, threw him off a building and killed him, then went down and raised him from the dead. You say, you believe that? No, I don't believe that. You say, well, it's written? Yeah, but look when it was written. Go back and look when these things, some of these written like 300 years after Jesus Christ came. And then they have a lot of things they have no way to back up as what they're saying at that particular time. When we believe in the true and living God of this Bible, all impossibilities are removed. Every impossibility that we think of that God said he's going to do, someone says it's impossible, it's been removed. God who can create the heavens out of nothing and hang them in a vacuum. God who can take the planets and stars in space and by the word of his power, fling them off the end of his fingers and put them in orbit in space and send them twirling through space can raise the dead. The God who can call everything into existence, ladies and gentlemen, the author of life himself, which he had no beginning of life, surely he can call someone from the dead. Why should it be thought such an incredible thing, Paul said in Acts 26, verse 8 to Agrippa, that this same God could raise the dead? Could God raise Jesus Christ from the dead? Of course he could. Well, the question is, did he do it? Now, you say, well, I might believe they could, but did he do it? No one was there to see it. Oh, yes, there was some there to see it. Don't think about this. People won't believe the record that's there. When you go back and you look with me in chapter 28 of Matthew, go back and turn that with me just a minute, if you will. In 28th chapter of Matthew, the second thing I want you to notice, did God raise Jesus from the dead? We have a record that he did. There was an angel here in this verse who said he did. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Watch. As he saith, come see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen, just like he told you would. come and see where the Lord lay. It takes more than an angel to convince some people, though. It's amazing to me. Some people believe something false about an angel and what they say a lot quicker than they will the true angel that said something about who God is and who Jesus Christ is at this time. Jesus appeared to some 11 times after his resurrection. Some people say the whole thing was fabricated. The writers lied. Acts 15:6, though, Paul said about 500 people saw him at one time. Kind of hard to get 500 to tell the same lie. You know, that's a big group. And you look at individuals, but there's 500. Paul says, saw him at one time in the book of Corinth. You say that, or the world may say that the story is fabricated. Did God raise Jesus from the dead? The disciples said he did. Some unbelievers says that the disciples lied. As a matter of fact, in the last chapter of Matthew, you'll find that they came up with this strange story when his enemies found out that he was not there. And they claimed the disciples took his body. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. Is it not strange that they would have that they would die for what they knew was a lie? I don't think the disciples have done that. You think the disciples that wanted to die except John would have, if they thought they'd been leaving a lie? You think they'd fabricate a lie and die for that lie? I don't. Hey, I look at them in there while they would Christ, and no, they were not really strong men spiritually. And yet after Christ died and the Holy Spirit came and came in them, man, they were like a bull chasing anything. They went everywhere preaching Jesus Christ and unafraid. You go to the book of Acts and see the transition period and then look at the 3.5 years they were with Christ. I mean, the night that Christ was taken to be crucified, they left except John. They fled. They were afraid. I'll tell you this, when Peter was hung on the cross upside down, he wasn't afraid. And Jesus was not there in the sense present as far as a physical body, but the Holy Spirit was there to give him courage. And it was actually closer to him as being living in him than he would have been when Christ was living here on this earth, because the flesh was to flesh then. And when Jesus was gone, they had to wait or learn or find out where he was at and get where he was at to hear him, because they didn't hear anything else when he was gone. But with the Holy Spirit living in them, everything that Jesus taught them, he'd bring it back to them. And we have the written of God's word from that because of their faithfulness. In Acts chapter 2, if you go back and look at me in chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter said this, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. In chapter 32, he said, this Jesus hath God raised, whereof we are witness of it. Peter preached this. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, he said, whom God hath raised from the dead. Acts 4:10 and 5:30 and other places, Acts 10:40 and 41, they said some ate with him after his resurrection. I don't think you can have hallucination do that, do you? Can you imagine people sitting down eating with a figure that hallucinated about? He had to be real, and he was real. Amen. Amen. I like that. It means when we get to heaven, we're going to have some good food to eat too. Amen. The only thing I have that I really like is food down here, and I'm getting to the place now where I can't eat it because it gives me problems. When you get to heaven, everything up there is going to be delicious, and everything up there is going to be good. And I look at you and know you'll be glad too, because you weigh a lot less than you do now. Amen. That's a heavenly body is going to give to us. His enemies cannot prove that he wrote that he did not rise. Matthew 28, verse 12 through 14. Disciples, they said, you tell the soldiers, you tell them this, that the disciples stole the body. How do you account for the empty grave then? Jesus' grave was found empty on that Sunday morning. We saw that in Matthew 28. Now, since the grave is empty, and one of two things had to happen. There had to not be a resurrection, or either his friends or his foes, his enemies, took him away. And when you look and analyze the only two that could have, his friends or his enemies, took him away. When you analyze those two, you understand the only alternative is he had to be raised from the dead. And that's historical fact from what we know happened in that day, and God has given us his word of the record also. If his enemies had taken him away, don't you know they would have presented his body the very moment they began to claim he raised? That's the worst thing in the world they wanted to hear, that he rose from the dead. They feared his resurrection. Don't you know that Peter and them began to preach him, and they kept brought the disciples to the Sanhedrin court? They say, hey, here, let me show you. And propped up Jesus' body and said, he rose from the dead. Hear it. If they'd have stole his body, they'd have had him available. Because that's the only thing that could hush the record that he was raised from the dead. They couldn't steal his body. Why? They didn't have his body. Amen. Praise God. It was down in a place delivering saints of the Old Testament and getting ready for the third day to come up out of that grave when he gave up the ghost and died. The infidels said the disciples stole the body and tried to deceive the world. What a bluff of the Jews. Again, no one would die for a lie. They said that also the infidels said that he never did die. That he was a swoon and the spices of odor and cool air in the tomb revived him. What a historical joke of fools. I mean, they didn't never see nothing like that happen before. They didn't have the equipment we had today. In fact, when they began to put stuff on a body, it was dead. They only put stuff on to try to make it smell good better. Because over in the book of John, he said that when Lazarus died in 4 days, he stinketh. And they had him with all kinds of stuff on him, but they still said after 4 days, he stinketh. You can't get a whole lot of Chanel number 5 put on a dead body after so many days it smell good. Amen? I mean, you take a milkshake and put a little bit of sewage in it, it's still sewage, not milkshake. I thought that didn't wake you up. This infidel said that when disciples thought that they saw him, when they saw him, that they were hallucinating. This is absurd. Since the walk to Emmaus and other appearances lasted for hours, and the walk to Emmaus found in Luke chapter 24, there was a number of hours Jesus walked, a period of time he walked as they moved from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He walked and he talked to them. He gave them the scriptures of the prophets and the writings and so forth from the Old Testament. And he taught them about himself. The angel had said that he would appear to them in Galilee, but he appeared to them in Jerusalem that very night. That's the first night when Stephen was not there. Then the record is clear. Yet there are many with a desire to get rid of the supernatural appearing of Jesus Christ by pumping these ungodly theories in people's minds and saying, you know, a person who don't have the record and don't believe the record, they hear you say he did, it's just words. When you hear they say he didn't, it's just words. And so all of a sudden, if he didn't, they don't have to worry about that he did, because if he didn't, they don't have to worry about appearing before him again one day as judge. With me? The fact is that he did, they're going to appear before him again one day as judge. He's not coming back again as the Savior. He's coming as the judge of people. So could God raise Jesus from the dead? Yes. Did God raise Jesus from the dead? Absolutely. Number 3, why then? Why did God raise Jesus from the dead? He did it to establish Christ's glorious identity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said, and declared to be the Son of God, talking about Jesus Christ, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection of the dead. He was declared to be, notice again, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection of God. You know what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, he can't be the Son of God. Because he had the power to raise himself from the dead, or God had the power to raise him from the dead because he said he would, he declares him to be with power the absolute Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. God did it to furnish every believer the assurance that he was justified in Christ, like God said. Romans 4:25 says, he was raised for our justification. Matthew 20, verse 28, Christ offered his life as a ransom for you and I, or for many, he says. The resurrection shows that the atonement was accepted, which became our sacrifice, as Jesus Christ was the supreme sacrifice. He is our Passover, Paul told the church at Corinth, just like the Passover lamb was for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. God did it so there would be no doubt of the judgment day that's coming. If you look with me in Acts 17, and I want you to look at that with me. We'll take 1 minute, turn over there, and I'm going to turn pretty fast. But in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul said this down in verse 31. He said, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? He's telling us he has appointed a day. Hey, because he raised Christ from the dead for justification of those who believe, he's also going to judge those who don't believe. Why? Because he's alive. He's well. He's still doing what he came to do as the Spirit of God gives the gospel to this lost world and causes them to see their need to receive in Christ as Savior. In John chapter 5, John gives us an illustration about this too when he said in John chapter 5 down about verse 28 and 29, some people use this general resurrection. There's not going to be a general resurrection. There's coming to the resurrection of the saints of God. And then there's going to be a final resurrection of all the unsaved that come back in the book of Revelation and be judged at the great white throne judgment. But here he says, marvel not for this at this in verse 28, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now some people read that and say, if I live a good life, that means I'm going to life. If I don't, that means I don't. Hey, you and I can't live a good enough if you don't understand the scriptures to go to heaven. We have to be redeemed. We have to be bought with a price. And God has paid the price so we can all come if he so will. But if we do not, now I heard this past week someone said, but really what's God's going to do in the end? You know, he's going to just send those to a place that they have to be tormented a little bit. And he kept the sick. In fact, they had a book that they wrote somewhere or another in the 3rd century or something like that. Somebody wrote one of the names of the apostles. And they said in that book that he was talking to Peter, I believe, and said, Jesus talked to Peter. Peter, I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell nobody else, though. Don't tell nobody else. Everybody's going to end up with me before it's over with. I don't believe that. I don't believe God would be just if you and I who say, Lord, I believe the record that you gave of your son. Dear God, I believe the record that Jesus Christ came and died. He is my sacrifice. I believe because of him I can have righteousness to stand before you. His righteousness is imputed to us who believe the record that God gave of his son. And 1 John said, if we believe that record, we have that life. And a person says, no, I don't believe that. No, sir, live a life here of a devil and live his life like he wants to away from God and then think at the end that God would come down and say, you know, I'm going to overlook it all anyhow. What I did. It wouldn't be fair to you and I who sacrificed and many who died. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, who died for the cause of Christ because they live a life this world hated because it represented him. And Jesus said, they'll hate you because they hated me. See, Satan is doing everything he can to change what God has said as far as his word is concerned. Nothing's more certain in this universe than there is a judgment coming, and because of that, Jesus Christ will be the judge. God did it to prove that all those in Christ would be raised one day in the future. Christ, he said in 1 Corinthians, we read the first fruit. Afterward, they that are his, it is coming, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 23. Sometimes Satan may cause us to doubt when we're at the hospital. Sometimes Satan may cause us to doubt by the gravesite at a flash of a moment. Talking to brother this past week, we was talking along the same line, goes to another church. He said, it amazes me how that I've faced some things in my life and I've faced it all of a sudden. I can't believe I had to face it and how just a few days later, how I adjust. And that's what God does. We're in the flesh. You get a call right now in a few minutes going home that some of your loved ones have died as close to you or a child or something. Don't tell me to throw you a fit. But you know, we got something in us that helps us to adjust. God says we're not like the world. God's word is hid in our heart. And he comes into our heart and speaks to us through his word. And we find out that he gives us peace that passes understanding. He promised that. And within a few days, you find yourself real adjusting and saying, praise be unto God. He's as holy. He's as right. He's as good as they've ever been because he's God. He helps us real just, real fast, like under those circumstances, you see. And so everything around us sometimes say, you won't see your loved ones again. Then God reminds us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. I like that. Hey, folks, some this week and said that blessed my heart. He said, if you believe, notice again, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who sleep in Jesus, the next word is God will bring with him. Isn't that wonderful? Even in 1 Thessalonians, he's telling us Jesus is God. God will bring those saints with him to reunite again in a glorified body, the last place on this earth, and they'll be raised and then we'll be changed. But I like that. By the way, turn there with me just real fast. Somebody made me that I got another Bible or something. Look at it. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Who's coming back? Jesus. And he said, will God bring with him. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's a spiritual golden nugget found in God's word that's wonderful that we can take advantage of. Everything depends on the resurrection of Christ. Take this away and the whole plan destroyed is destroyed. If Christ did not rise from the dead, how do I know he's the way, the truth, and the life? If Christ did not rise from the dead, how do I know that he who believes on Christ can be saved? If he didn't rise from the dead, how do I know that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin? Or that he has gone to prepare a place for you and me? Or that he has come again coming again for you and me? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, how do I know that the death of sting will be lost, the death has lost its sting? How would I know that the grave is swallowed up in victory? How would I know that God will quicken our mortal bodies? How would I know that he will appear again? How would I know that I should be like him? How would I know that God promises are sure? If Christ did not rise from the dead, how would I know that the suffering today are not worthy to be compared with the glory which he has revealed in us? I would not know without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that makes it real, puts a cap on it. I do know these things. And on the other hand, I cannot really prove them other than just what God says in his word. God has to convince that. Without Christ's resurrection, I have no other way to tell it. Without Christ's resurrection, no way to prove it. He is risen. The grave could not hold him. We sung the song, up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He rose a victory from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He rose, hallelujah, Christ arose. That's a true song. I've seen where they laid him. I've had the privilege to go there a couple of times. God pity a man who has no resurrected Savior. God pity a man who has no resurrected, has no living hope, has no faith. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we shall see him again. I don't know that God promised that. We shall see him again. We shall see him. Why? Because we have hope in him. We have faith in him. We have a resurrected Savior, and that's the reason why we have those things in him. He did rise from the dead. That he is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. No one else. No one else. Any other religion, I don't care what people may say, any other religion in this world that leaves him out is doomed. And they say, hey, you shouldn't say that. Why not? That's what Jesus preached. There's no other name, the disciples said in the scriptures, as Luke gave account in Acts, there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Brother, he's straight on that. So the question is this. Could God raise Christ from the dead? Yes. Did Christ raise God from the dead? Yes. Why did God raise Christ from the dead? So we would live, could he live with him forever. And I say to you this morning to close, if you're not saved, you need him. You and I are saved, by the way, we didn't just get saved all of a sudden, didn't need him. We need him every day of our life. We need him to help us live. We need him to help us understand why we're here and what his purpose is. And help us understand from the scripture God's purpose revealing himself, who is an omnipresent God, who is a spirit, Jesus said in John 4, and therefore revealing his kingdom through his people in the church today. One time it was Israel. It won't be long, he'll be here himself, revealing himself to this lost world. Everything in Christianity depends upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Christ did not make Christ. Hear me now. The resurrection did not make Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made the resurrection. He was risen from the dead. And I stand here to you and those who listen to my radio in a few minutes and those who are looking upstream right now, a satellite, I say to you today with the depth of my soul, Jesus Christ is the only way you'll ever have this eternal divine life that Peter talked about in 1 Peter. That's the very life of God. By the way, you and I will have to have the life of God to live with him forever because that's the only life that lives forever with him. To not have that is to be discarded in one place that he's called. He made for the devil and his angels. He's called it hell. It's a place of departed spirits where the fire is in Luke, we find, tells us, and it also gives us the information that it's there as fire and brimstone. And the thing about it is, it also tells us one day even that place is going to come up in Revelation and they're going to be judged according to their works, and they'll be cast into what the Bible says, the lake of fire. How do I know that? Because of the resurrection of Christ. If Christ is not raised from the dead, don't worry about hell. Don't worry about the lake of fire. Don't worry about going to heaven either. If Christ is not risen from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, we'll live like an animal, die, and that'll be it, and we won't ever know nothing else. But wait a minute! I tell you, God said he didn't make us like the animals. He called forth the animals. He did everything else with the word of his power. But on the day, sixth day, when he made Adam, he formed him from the dust of the ground. Many of you heard me say this before. He formed him from the dust. He took pain as he did and made an image of himself, and he blew into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. That is different than anything else that's ever been created, including the angels. And that human race has either failed in Adam, the first Adam, and been redeemed the second time with the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, to go to be with him. Or they'll miss the second Adam and end up in a place that the Bible declares eventually lake of fire. Let me tell you, the language that he says about heaven being forever and forever is the same language, same words that's used about the lake of fire and hell forever and forever. I challenge you this morning, many who listen by it, means that we have to give the gospel. And people that are here today, only you know if you're ready to meet the Lord. No one else can know that. You can tell us with word, but only God knows the heart. And if you don't know Christ, to say, he will reveal to you and say, look, what better place to do than right now concentrated on the word of God, on Jesus Christ, on the day that the world looks at him being raised from the dead. Say, is this the exact day? It doesn't matter if it's not. If it is, if it's not. The fact is, there was an exact day. And so we don't know exactly what day it was. We can go by the equinox and do what Israel did and come up with a day. Yeah, we can do that pretty close, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, there was a day. Amen. And because there was a day, we can have life. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, I pray, God, help someone to see the simplicity of your word. On this day, we set aside to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe with all my heart. I wouldn't give 52 years of my life to this if I did not believe. September 27, 1959, when I really heard you through your word the first time. And you brought conviction to my heart. And I reached out by faith as near as I knew how. And I called upon your name to save me. And I know the scriptures back up. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt be saved. Titus 1:2 said, God cannot lie. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you're the God who don't mind putting in who you are and what you can and cannot and will not do. The Lord, you live forever. And we have the greatest privilege in time that we're living right now. To have our life, yes, but to commit it to you and say, Lord, as I move in time, may my life count for you. Help someone see it can't count, though, unless they start at Calvary. Calvary cries out. God loves the world, John 3:16. Calvary cries out how much God loved the world. God set the pace. God set the standard. And we came up short. Been born of Adam through procreation of the flesh. And yet, dear Father, thank you that Jesus came and fulfilled what Adam lost and gain it back, that we can come to you and have the assurance in our heart that we confess it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit takes it and brings it to reality to our soul. Help someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.